Welcome you all to our service tonight. We trust the Lord will bless our coming together in his name this evening around the Word of God. We do appreciate again your compliance with all the restrictions we put in place in entering and exiting while in the building. This is for all our safety as we meet in the Lord's house. Just do please remember that during these cold nights, we're not going to open these doors here at these sides of the church. I know that you're very compliant. You will be careful as you leave and keep your distance. And so we're not going to open those doors, but it's very cold. And we're going to just go out the main door. And I know that you'll be careful with doing that. So keep that in mind, please. We're trying to not make it as cold for you as well. So that's very important. Baskets at the exits for your offerings. There's, of course, the building fund offering today. Do remember that, please, and let us give as the Lord has prospered us, even to the Lord's work. Could I remind you of the little sunbeams tomorrow at 10:30 to 11:30 in the church hall, and then on Tuesday evening the children's meeting from 7 to 7:45, and of course just remember those coming to prayer meeting, just let the children get out, and then from about 10 to 8 you'll be able to get into the prayer meeting for 8 o'clock. Bible study on inviting people to Christ, and do remember that please at 8 p.m. on this coming Tuesday evening. Next Lord's Day, the Sunday school at 10, family worship at 11:30, and our sister Natasha, God willing, will sing. She was to sing tonight, but she's having problems with her throat and her voice, and it's well that she doesn't tonight, and she wouldn't be able to, so she will do that, God willing, if she's recovered next Lord's Day morning. Then the gospel service at 7, and Naomi will sing in the evening time at 7 p.m. Season of prayer prior to the evening service. Do remember that, and we encourage you to join us, please, for prayer. The Missionary Council offerings are next Lord's Day as well. After church for youth, next Sunday night at 8:30, Reverend Patrick Baker from Newtownards will speak to the young people on the subject, What Does Christmas Mean to You? So remember that, please, next Sunday evening for youth at 8:30 in the youth room, and all youth are welcome. Remember the sicknesses, those who have been going through or are going through sicknesses and need our prayers. I remember Mary tomorrow, she's to get a check on her blood and then hopefully treatment on Tuesday, particularly remember that, and others who are going through treatments or recovering from them. The LTBS calendars, do please remember them. There's some left, and also the Bible readings through the year. I think there's just one left. None left now. Mervyn's nodding his head. And so they're all sold, Mr. Barnes. That's good. That's for the work in Romania, of course. And we're thanking you for helping with that as well. Reverend Johanna's book, there may be one or two of them left. And please put your names down for these. Also, Reverend McMillan's little book, The Paper Pulpit, that's available at £3. And you can get your name down or see our brother Mervyn for all of those. The 19th of December is the special offering for Northern Ireland Children's Hospice. One of our own folk, of course, involved in the work there. And we have been supporting that for several years. So remember that special offering for the Northern Ireland Children's Hospice on Sunday the 19th as you leave the services. There will be no Lord's Table after the morning service on Sunday the 26th of December, but there will be two Lord's Tables in January, the first Sunday and the last Lord's Day. There's five Sundays in January, so please remember that and plan to join with us around the Lord's Table. 19th of December also is the special time when we have the services for Christmas, the morning time with the children, then program at night. Various people taking part. So do remember that and do invite others to come under the sound of the Word of God. There'll be a special party also on the 13th. The Moms and Tots, I think, is a special visitor coming as well. And then in the evening time, it's Awana Sunday School party. I think a special visitor is coming again. So a special visitor is going to be very busy on the 13th. So please remember those parties. That's 7 p.m. for the Awana Stroke Sunday School party on the 13th of December. I think those are all the announcements that we have to make. We're going to open our service with the singing of a well-known hymn. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Keep our seats, and then if you're able, we'll stand to pray, please. See Mr. Barnes out with us again too. He's been in hospital and just recovered from that, and good to see him out with us again at the house of the Lord. Our sister Kathy has been unwell recently too, and we're thankful to see her out again amongst us in the house of the Lord. And all who have been ill, do remember our sister Louise's mum at this time, who's not well, and pray for Louise's mum that the Lord's hand will be upon her in healing at this time. So let's remember these requests too, please. Our gracious God and loving eternal Father, we come into your presence in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. And we thank thee, O God, for the privilege that we have of being able to come before thy throne of grace and prayer. And Father, we do pray for thy blessing upon us tonight as we meet together. We thank you for those who have been able to come out again to the house of God. Our brother Mr. Barnes and his wife, and Lord, we thank thee for hiring out again this evening, was out this morning, for Kathy here in her midst. We pray for thy hand upon them, Lord, that thou wilt continue to bless them. And Lord, may they know the healing hand of God, and others maybe in our midst and maybe even not out today who have illness. And we pray for healing and restoration for those that need our prayers continually, those going through treatments. And we pray, Father, that you remember Mary tomorrow and then on Tuesday, undertake for her. We pray for thy healing touch. Remember our brother Raymond, continue thy touch upon him. We thank thee, Lord, for your hand upon others. And we thank thee, O God, for your touch upon Eileen, who's been out the last number of weeks. And for Margaret, too, that thou wilt bless her, that she will know thy hand upon her. Remember Louisa's mom at this time. Pray for thy healing touch. We pray that thou wilt remember her, that thou wilt surround her with thy love, that she will know thy peace. We thank thee that she is thine. And we pray that she may know that the Lord is near at this time. Just help Louise with this situation. Give her grace and help the family through this time, we ask of thee. We pray for our brother Carl, remember him. And we thank thee for this visit we've been able to have tomorrow with him. And we pray that thou will go ahead as planned. And we pray, Lord, that thou will undertake for our dear brother. We thank thee, O God, for his faithfulness to this church over decades of time. We pray for his wife, Lord Maureen, that you'll bless her and bless the family. Continue to touch Calvin too, that he will recover fully from his recent illness. Lord, we ask of thee that you'll just remember each one that needs thy touch tonight. Others who have illnesses that maybe they just don't want their name mentioned. And Lord, we ask for them also. Those going through deep valleys of trauma, we pray that thou wilt help them. And that thou wilt bless them. Bless us tonight, Lord, in this meeting. We pray for help and power. We thank you for these 17 years that you've given us in this church, ministering forth the word of life. And, O God, we pray that even in the final months of our ministry here, that you will step in with mighty power and save souls, Lord, that we have long prayed for. We thank you for those who have been saved in recent months. And we pray for many more to be swept into the kingdom. Many more souls brought into thy family. Even tonight, O God, work in this meeting, we pray, to the salvation of precious souls. We ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. We're reading together from the Word of God tonight in the book of Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. We're again in this chapter of God's Word, a very solemn chapter, the 16th chapter of Luke's Gospel, and the verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come unto this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Amen. And we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible word. We will sing the words of the Christmas carol on the screen. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies, with the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. I know you like to get into the Christmas spirit, so let's do it in a scriptural manner, and let's join in the singing of this hymn together. And then we'll stand, if you can, for a brief word of prayer before we bring the word. Stand, if you can, for prayer, please. Our loving God and Father, we turn now to the preaching of thy word. I am trusting thee for power, thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. We ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. You may be seated. I want to continue for a third time on the subject of hell. The most awful place of all. That is the subject this evening. And I'm sure we can all quickly think of places we would not want to visit, even for a short period of time. Never mind for a longer period, or be confined to that place or those places without any way of escape. Think of the awfulness of concentration camps under the Nazis, and the dreadful torture of such places. Some of you may have visited on holiday some of those places and seen for yourself the awful confinement and the terrible situation that those people confined found themselves in. And there are people even to this day who are in the most awful confinement and experiencing dreadful torture under dictatorships across this world. But my friend, nothing, I say nothing, can be compared to the awfulness of this place that the Bible calls hell. How terrible it is. What terror for those who will experience hell. What torment that is for all eternity. This is not a pleasant subject tonight, but it is necessary in order that men, women, and young people might be warned of the danger of going to such a dreadful place, such an awful place, and knowing such everlasting confinement and eternal punishment. And this is where the rich man here in this portion in Luke chapter 16 ended up. With all that he had in this world, he found himself in the torment of hell. Luke chapter 16 shows us this rich man lifted up his eyes in hell. And I want to particularly focus upon one point tonight, and that is the certainty of hell. Can we really be sure there is a hell? What authority do we have for declaring there is such a place? There are many opinions, of course, about it. There are so many learned people out in this world who deny the fact of hell altogether. They cannot believe that a loving God would condemn a soul to hell for a short life of sin upon this earth. And so they think that God is so loving that no matter how people have lived their lives, that God will, when they die, as it were, wipe the slate clean and accept them into heaven. But my friends, tonight such a notion is contrary to the plain teaching of Scripture. On one occasion, a very refined lady approached a preacher after she had heard him preach on hell. And she said to the preacher, "You are a father, and I'm sure you love your children." He said he did. She went on to say, "I suppose if you could ease the pain and sorrow of your child at any time, you would do so." He said he would. And then she said, "What would you think of a father who could save a child from suffering and would not do so?" The preacher said, "I think he would be a tyrant and a monster." And she said, "I'm glad to hear you say that. For you see, that is what you are making God out to be. God will never see his children in hell and in torment. He would be a monster if he did." The preacher responded to that lady. He said to her, "Lady, you make one mistake, and that is this.
God hasn't a child in hell. He never had, and he never will have one there. There are none on the way there either. For all of God's children are either in heaven or on the way to heaven and dead on sure of getting there. The people that are in hell are the devil's children. Those who are of their father, the devil. God, as a father, has a home for his children. And so the devil, as a father, has a home for his children. And if you have never been born again, let me tell you tonight, you're not a child of God. You're a child of the devil. You're of your father, the devil, and his works you do. The Bible teaches us in the Gospel of John, chapter 8 and verse 44, ye of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. You see, my friends, God is only the father of those who believe in Jesus Christ. God is only the father of those who are born again of the Spirit of God. And I believe it is this damnable heresy in churches today that is causing people not to believe in hell. My friends, there is surely a hell, for the Bible clearly teaches. And no honest reader of the Word of God can come to any other conclusion. You cannot shut your eyes to what the Bible teaches. It is clear and real as the teaching about heaven, the teaching of God's Word about hell. It's strange how people will be very quick to believe in heaven, and yet they only know that there is such a place because the Bible teaches it, and yet they deny the teaching of the same Bible when it teaches about hell. And people are very selective. They want to believe about heaven, but they don't want to believe about hell. And such a position is illogical and unreasonable. If there is no hell, then there is no infallible Bible, and we are left to the opinions of men and their speculations. And if there is no hell, then we have no Christ. We have no Christianity. Churches are just a farce. Preaching is just a waste of time. It is Christ and hell, or no hell and no Christ. Christ stands or falls with hell. Unbelief, my friends, does not alter hell. If this Bible is the Word of God, and it is, and if Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he is, then there is a hell. You may deny this fact, but it doesn't destroy the fact. Whether I believe in a fact or not will not alter that fact. Fire burns, whether I believe it or not. Poison kills, whether I believe it or not. Frost freezes, whether I believe it or not. The sun rises and sets, whether I believe it or not. The world is round, whether I believe it or not. 2 and 2 make 4, and 5 and 5 make 10, and 3 and 3 make 6, and so on, whether you believe it or not. Hell is a reality. It is an absolute reality. And you will be there if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, whether you believe it or not. But you say tonight, don't you know how learned people have changed the word hell? Oh, I know that. They have done that. What right have they to do that? I don't know. But suppose they have changed the word or the name. Does that alter the fact or the nature of the place? Suppose I said, there's no such a country as this. Now, I know there are some people who would like to say there's no such a country as this. Or change the name of this country. And I know there are people that would like to change the name of the country. And they're trying to do it all the time, of course. But would that destroy this country or alter it in any way? You know right well it would. You may change my name. Give me another name. But it doesn't change or obliterate me. I'm just the same person with another name. You may call a vulture a bird of paradise, but it's just the same old scavenger. You may call a skunk a canary, but it won't sing on that account. And it won't smell any sweeter either. You may call hell by whatever name you care, but it's just the same awful place. It's the most awful place of all, my friend. It's where people wail and weep and gnash their teeth forever and ever. It sounds nice to call a different name, even scholarly in some quarters, and nice to the ear. But don't forget, my friend, tonight, it's just the same fearful, dreadful, awful place of torment. You tell some person you're angry with them to go to Gehenna, and he'll think you mean them to go on holiday somewhere, or that you're wishing them well. But you tell them to go to hell, they will soon let you know what they think of you. I fear there's a danger here. By changing the words, you may take away the fear and the fact of some from some people's minds about hell. But it doesn't change it, friend. It doesn't change the certainty of it. Let me tell you tonight, if you're not saved in this service, listening into this service tonight, if you're not in Christ, you're on the road to hell as fast as time and as fast as your feet can take you. There's but a heartbeat. There's but a step between you and a Christless hell. But maybe there's someone listening who says, it isn't very good exegesis to base a doctrine on a parable. The scripture I read earlier wasn't a parable, friend. It wasn't a parable. When the Lord Jesus Christ used a parable, he let us know that he was using one. And you will find that many times in the Gospels. Here is the relation of an actual fact that was known to those who heard him tell it. Look at verse 19. There was a certain rich man. Look again. There was a certain beggar. That's what the Bible says. He's clearly speaking here about real people. He's speaking of their manner of life and how they live. And so the Lord Jesus Christ did not invent the story to enforce the truth, but he took a local incident, and by it he burned in this truth. The rich man did not go to hell because he was rich, friend. There's no vice in riches, and there's no virtue in poverty. He went to hell because he left God out of his life. He went to hell because he died without Christ. The poor man Lazarus went to heaven because he trusted in the Lord as his Savior. And it's always the same way. I'm sure you've heard the question asked, how could God be a God of love and send people to hell? God never sends people to hell. But such a question as this suggests or implies that they who have asked it would not themselves do such a thing. Almost they're saying, that they have more love and compassion for men than God has. A preacher was conducting a gospel campaign many years ago. And one day he received a letter from another preacher saying that if he would be more like Jesus, then he would preach more about heaven and less about hell. This made the preacher go to his Bible, and I encourage you to do the same tonight, or at some time when you have a moment or two, go to your Bible and find out whether this preacher was unlike Jesus preaching about hell so much. And this is what he found. That the Lord Jesus Christ spoke more about hell far more times than he did about heaven. Only once did the Lord Jesus Christ speak about heaven. And that was in John 14. Only once. I'm not saying it wasn't implied in other places, but particularly and specifically, he spoke about heaven in John 14. And yet he spoke again and again about hell in the most awful and gruesome language. You would think, by the way, some people talk, that they had more love for their fellow man and woman than Jesus had or has. My friend, he so loved man that he gave himself for the salvation of his people. And you find these people who talk about loving their fellow man ever dying or ever suffering to save them? Oh no. They sit calmly by their fireside cooing like a turtle dove about love, while all the time they don't know the first thing about love. The Bible says in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Think about those words, friend. Let them sink into your ears and into your heart tonight. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Think again about the words of Romans 5 and 8. God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Think about those words tonight. Think about the words of John, the beloved apostle, in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10, where he said, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Think about those words tonight. Think about love, God's love, for sinful men and women like you and like me. And the one next to Jesus who told more about hell was John. The one who leaned upon the Savior's breast and felt the very heartbeat of the Son of God. He was the apostle of love. And as you read the book of the Revelation, as we've done in the past and looked at it in the past, we read about hell. And how terribly graphic and gruesome is the description that is given to us in the book of the Revelation about hell. Do you mean to tell me that these people who talk about love today have more love and know more about love than the Lord Jesus Christ did or John the apostle of love did? Surely not. But it is a mark. Is it a mark of love for man to hide the truth from them because it's awful? Remember what Paul said, I'm going to become your enemy because I tell you the truth. Something to be said for telling people the truth. Of course, speak it in love. But tell them the truth. Tell them the truth. Suppose you all are on a train going on an excursion with others to your destination. And I was on the railway, and as I walked, I came to a bridge and found that bridge was broken. I knew your train with its hundreds on board was about you. In fact, I could hear the train in the distance. And I think for a moment, I will warn them of their danger and stop them. But then again, I think it would be a pity to spoil their excursion. I might get people scared and some might even faint. I love them so much, I want them to have a nice day out. And so I wave to them, that they might have a good time. While all the time I know that right ahead is the broken bridge. The train rushes on at breakneck speed, and all on board are either killed or badly injured. The whole community, you can imagine, are deluged in sorrow. And I gather with those sorrowing people and tell them that I knew the bridge was down. I loved those people so much. I couldn't find it in my heart to warn them of their peril, to spoil their fun, even for a few moments. Tell me, how many of you believe that it was love that prompted such an action on my part? How long would they have let me live in that community? Or even live at all if I told them what I had done? What are we to say of men and ministers who stand before people who are rushing headlong at breakneck speed to a lost eternity? And don't tell them, and don't warn them of their imminent danger, or hide the fact of their danger by telling them there's no hell. Telling God is love, He wouldn't send you there. And preachers are doing that in Northern Ireland tonight and across this world. They're doing that. Oh, the horror of it. Oh, the damnableness of it. Could you imagine such a thing? Could you imagine someone coming to you and you knew the road that they need to go and they ask you for directions? And you give them the wrong directions. And it cost them hours and miles. It's a dirty, contemptible trick to play on anyone. People may think it's funny, but those people would maybe desperately need to get to someone. You're sending them in the wrong direction. And to deliberately put men and women on the wrong road for eternity without a hope of ever getting to heaven is the most awful thing of all. Surely such a person is a Judas Iscariot, or even worse. And just as sure as there's a heaven, my friend, there is a hell. The authority we have for the one is the same as we have for the other. The authority of God's word. It's not Alan Smiley's authority. Not the authority of the Free Presbyterian Church or any other church. It's the authority of God's word. This is the word of Him who cannot lie, friend. We can stand upon it tonight. I remember many years ago my father telling me a story of my grandfather. And my grandfather was a hard man. And he told me of going into the room as he died. And as he died sadly without Christ. And he cried out, "Oh, the darkness! Hell," he said, "the darkness! The darkness." And he died. My friend, this is the most awful place of all. And from this pulpit for 17 years, I have told you about heaven and warned you about hell. And no one can say I haven't. With every strength that I have and every fiber of my being tonight again, I exhort you to flee from this awful place. Whatever months I have to conclude my ministry here, I will continue to exhort you and tell you to flee. Flee to Christ tonight. There is hope. And that hope is in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here Lazarus found that hope. Here's this man, poor, miserable in this world, but yet He found the hope for eternity. He had nothing of this world, but he had everything for eternity. He was poor in this life, but he was rich toward God. What will it be for you, my friend, tonight? Oh, I urge you tonight to come to the Savior, to make no delay, to flee from this wrath which is to come, the most awful place of all, the certainty of hell. May God be pleased to bless his word to our hearts tonight. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight thou wouldst be pleased to write thy word upon the hearts of those that have heard. We desire, O God, tonight that thou wouldst bring souls to the Savior. O God, cause them to flee from this wrath which is to come, to embrace Christ tonight as he's freely offered in the gospel, and to know, as Lazarus did, that comfort in death and that consolation and that hope for all eternity in the presence of the Lord. We pray in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. We're singing the hymn, Keeping Our Seats. O come all ye faithful, joyfully triumphant to Bethlehem, hasten now with glad accord. Lo, in a manger lies the King of Angels. We will sing this hymn as we remain seated to do so.
spoken to you tonight, you're not saved, do speak with us as you leave. We're happy to talk to you and show you from God's word tonight how you can be saved. Remember, we're going out just as you came in tonight, and we know that you'll do that safely with safe distancing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all tonight, tomorrow, and until the day break and the shadows flee away, and then with all who are saved forevermore. Amen. Restrictions we put in place in entering and exiting right in the building. This is for all our safety for meeting in the Lord's house. Because do please remember that during these cold nights we're not going to open these doors here at this side of the church. I know that you're very compliant. You will be careful as you leave and keep your distance. So we're not going to open those doors. It's very cold. So keep that in mind, please. We're trying to not make it as cold for you as well. So.